Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life. A program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. Today on Life Quest, I'm talking to Janice Rosser Allen. She, along with Ellen Vaughn, have written a very special book full of stories of God's grace from around the world. It's entitled God in the Crossroads, Signs of Hope. Janice, welcome to Life Quest.
Oh, thank you so much, Dwight. It's good to be with you.
As we begin, we'll be talking about the book and yourself. You're an author, you're a missionary. But tell us about ICM Ministries.
Well, ICM has been around for over 35 years. Mm-hmm. And it was actually founded by my father when he was in his mid-60s and had been a successful businessman and began, though, to see the just tremendous need for coming alongside indigenous ministries internationally, where the church is just growing so much, but they are very under-resourced. And so ICM was founded to help equip with Bible study resources that are translated, and also to help provide infrastructure for church buildings.
And this is one thing I took away straight away from starting your book, and that is, but it's practical Christianity, isn't it? Very involved in all kinds of places in the world under a variety of circumstances.
Well, you know, it really is. And to me, what God is allowing us to do is amplify the work that so many courageous believers are already doing within their own countries. Mm-hmm. And we're just able to, as one of our partners said, you know, ICM comes alongside them and we throw oil on the fire. That it just amplifies what, you know, God's already doing there. It just helps them to create some sustainability and a deeper understanding of God's Word by providing the resources that we provide.
And I know that sometimes there's criticism of this type of ministry. Say, well, you're just building churches and schools and that sort of thing. But it's more than that, and that's what this book does. It brings it into real life with real people and their stories. Early on in your book, in fact, on page 15, you talk about the whole concept of hope and how important that is to people.
Well, you know, I think that became very real to me years ago when I was working as an oncology nurse, and I clearly saw the power of hope to the human spirit. You know, that I began to just see, and I know philosophers have said that down through the centuries, you know, that hope is an essential component of our humanity and our spirit. And I saw that with cancer patients, you know, as they would transition from, you know, I hope this treatment will work, to maybe in the latter days, I hope I make it through Christmas.
Yeah.
But hope was always so important. But when I, you know, moved full-time into the ministry, it became so clear that what our ministry was, God was using us to do, was to help instill that sense of hope in so many places around the world that have no hope. So many places of great darkness where people have no hope.
What I'm picking up is from all over the world, in such a variety of cultures and histories, and yet it's the same for these people, whether it's here in the States, third world, or whatever you want to call it these days, the concept of hope.
Absolutely. I think that is a critical necessity for all people everywhere throughout time. And, you know, while we feel in so many ways the places where we are working because of poverty or because of political upheaval or natural disasters, you know, there is so much difficulty just managing day-to-day life, getting food, getting clothing, all those things that, that go alongside poverty. But, you know, so often we see clearly when the Church of Jesus Christ enters a community bringing that message of hope and salvation. I remember one time, for example, we were traveling in India, and we were in the town of Varanasi, which is very much actually in the news today because it's one of the locations where Hindus often go to be cremated on the pyres along the Ganges River. And we were there, and I remember looking outside of our bus on a dusty, dusty day and windy, and this hunched-over little woman, old woman, was sitting there with a broom sweeping this dirty street. And I turned to the pastor beside me, and I was like, "What, you know, tell me, what is a life like for this woman?" And he said, "Well, actually, I know her. And she was in the cast of street sweepers, and that will always be her lot in life. Mm. But when she joined the church, her narrative changed because now she has the hope of eternity."
Wow. What a great story. I've got to ask you about goats. You seem to always come across goats in various parts of the world. What's that all about?
Oh, it depends on where you are. Sometimes it's because that's the mainstay of their diet.
Yeah, you know? I know. But it's part of some countries' culture.
Oh, absolutely. And I think you may be referencing the funny story that happened when we'd been out visiting several of the churches, and out of a gracious, lavish thank you to us, they gave us a live goat. And so as not to offend anyone, you know, we had to receive the gift and take it with us on top of this luggage rack of a car. Mm-hmm. And the goat was strapped on top, and then we went to a second church and got a second goat, and that goat was added to the top of the roof. And anyway, it ended up, as we were leaving the airport, we provided a local pastor with the gift of those goats. But so you never know what is going to be the surprise way in which people express their gratitude.
As you're describing through the stories and through people, in the various, the tremendous variety of places that you have been and worked with ICM, whether it's Central America or Asia, former Soviet Union, places like that. So you're building a church, and yet many times there is a total population of a certain religious heritage. You mentioned Hindus or whatever it is. But there's this little Christian church, sometimes little Christian church, which is a witness by its very existence, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, is, I think, very unique and that God truly has blessed about ICM is the fact that we honor and respect the partners with whom we work. And they are the ones who identify the need for a building.
Mm-hmm.
And they identify the congregations that are meeting the requirements to have a building. But the building really legitimizes Christianity in communities where they are the minority religion.
Yeah.
Because up until that point in time, they may have been meeting and worshiping under a tree or, you know, in a hut. And there is no perception that Christianity could be their religion, could be a religion of their people. And so when they can hear teaching from Scripture in their own heart language, and they can walk down a dirt road and see a building where they can come and gather and worship and be proud of where they're coming, it makes all the difference in the world.
I had not heard about the Lisu people who were in China and other places but didn't necessarily speak Chinese. Tell me about them.
Well, in the far western part of China. The Lisu had been evangelized many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. And so they were a people group that were allowed to persist with their Christianity under the government rule. So they were kind of grandfathered in. And it continues to be a people group. There are Lisu speakers throughout that region of the world, but in this place in particular, it's really exciting to see the courageous way in which they live out their faith in that region.
Yeah, it was a fascinating description here. If you've just tuned in, I'm talking with Janice Rosser Allen. She's written a book with Ellen Vaughn called God in the Crossroads, Signs of Hope, ICM Ministries, Building Churches, Connecting with People all around the world in a variety of situations. It was interesting. I grew up in a home where we read stories, or my mother read stories to me about missionaries in various parts of the world. I was fascinated by the story, and tell our listeners about Rakesh, who seemed to be possessed of demons.
Well, that was, you know, something that from our Western perspective sounds, you know, so difficult to kind of understand that idea. But in some of the countries where we work, the idea of demon possession is very, very real and very much acknowledged. And in that particular instance, there was truly amazing healing of a man that had been living in all types of squalor and horrific behavior, and would have probably in the United States been locked up in a sanatorium somewhere.
Yes.
But he was prayed over, and one of the pastors, when this began happening, started writing down all the names of the demons that were leaving him, exiting him, and it really was this enormous transformational work. And like I said, from our kind of Western logical thinking, you know, these things don't consistently, you know, rest with us. You know, something we're comfortable with hearing. But, you know, that is why I marvel over the way in which the Holy Spirit speaks specifically into the different cultures of this world, because that speaks tremendously in that Indian culture to see people healed from demon possession. You know, we see stories around the world of people being pulled out from witchcraft. You know, one time I was visiting Zanzibar, which is an island off of Tanzania, East Africa, and we had been traveling for several days with a young pastor who only spoke Swahili, and it was only at the end of several days I asked him if he'd share his testimony with our team using the translator, and he began to talk about how he had sacrificed his firstborn son to death in order to have more power as a witch doctor. And he had walked beside an ICM church, and he had heard worship, and he had drawn closer, and he heard preaching. And God grabbed his heart, and he was transformed from that moment on. But to me, you know, just this idea that this man who had done such a horrific thing could stand in our presence with the full assurance that he had been fully forgiven because of what Jesus had done for him.
I was wanting to mention to our listeners that all of a sudden in the middle of the book, I find these photographs, and it really brings it to life. I guess I didn't expect it, and all of a sudden there it was. And in one of the photographs, a black and white photograph, is a very famous picture of Kim, who had been where some napalm had been dropped, and that went around the world and probably had an impact to the conclusion of the Vietnamese War. But she became a Christian, and I did not know that.
Yeah, Kim Phuc was, you know, made famous in that Life magazine photo of the little girl whose flesh had been burned off by napalm.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually, at ICM, a few years ago, started a women's initiative to help tell some of the stories of women around the world and be the voice for those voiceless women. And Kim Phuc came and was a speaker at the first conference where we had. And it was incredible to hear her life story of how she had come to faith and had left Vietnam and was, you know, living as a believer, as a married woman who thought she would never have that opportunity because of the scarring on her body, and raising children. But to me, Dwight, the amazing part of the story was how we connected with her to begin with, because ICM, unbeknownst to us, one day had approved a project. And you understand, we do about 1,000 church buildings a year.
Wow.
So this was one of many that we were approving, and had no idea that this church in the village of Trang Bang, Vietnam, was in Kim Phuc's village.
I see.
And we built that church, and it is sitting right on that street where Kim is shown as a child running down the road where they thought she was going to die.
Yeah.
God preserved her life, and she said, you know, I never imagined after all my years of praying that there would be a church finally built in my village of Trang Bang. So it's, you know, to me, it's just a reminder that God allows us, when we say yes to Him, to be part of the glorious stories that He is writing.
Yeah.
And He's just letting us be part of them.
I read voraciously you know, come across a lot of things. And I, for some reason, have been reading articles about the area of Chernobyl, where there had been this radioactive explosion there, and how that there are now, you know, green fields and trees and animals, wolves, wild horses coming back. But that's why I really looked carefully at what you were writing about here, about some seminary group that traveled to Chernobyl, and talk about that.
Well, you know, I was actually part of the team that went in there.
Really?
And one of the things that ICM began doing a few years ago, primarily because we kept seeing over and over again where the churches that we were building, the congregations were doing a huge amount of ministry with children, and yet they were, in so many instances, lacking proper space in order to feed the kids and care for the kids and have bathrooms and facilities.
Mm-hmm.
So we started building a building adjacent to the modest church that provides bathrooms and classrooms and a kitchen for it to be a children's hope center. So they can do ministry to these children and change the narrative of their lives in many instances. But we were in Chernobyl and visiting a church and children's hope center there. And they began telling us about the years of difficulty from radiation that people in that region experienced, you know, where there was just so many physical, you know, disabilities that were a result of the radiation. And so they're just now beginning to see, you know, these generations of children that are free from that. And the difficulty in that area, though, is that so many people either left it completely or they're living with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And these children are being raised under very difficult circumstances, because employment is difficult, alcoholism is very rampant, and people have left there for other jobs. So allowing the church to be there in this place of Chernobyl where God is restoring, and that is what we see everywhere we go. God redeems, you know, what could have been meant for difficulty. God is the God who redeems.
Yes.
That we call that over and over in Vietnam. We see it in Rwanda after the genocide. We see it in Chernobyl. I mean, everywhere across the globe, God is redeeming. So it's exciting to see those stories.
It really is. And again, the book is God in the Crossroads, Signs of Hope. Two things I want to ask you. First of all, where can our listeners get a copy of your book?
Well, can definitely go Amazon and get it there. Also can just send an email to info@icm.org, and we'd be happy to help you know, anyone with the purchase of a book.
And where can we learn more about ICM and their ministries?
Well, that would be icm.org.
Okay.
Is our website, and lots of information there. One of the things which I mentioned previously that we make available, and it's free to anybody, in 60 languages, is a survey of the entire Bible, Genesis to Revelation.
Hmm.
A wonderful study, originally written in English, but now we've translated it and distributed it all around the world in 60 languages. So that could be accessed through the website as well, icm.org.
Janice, thanks so much for being with us on LifeQuest.
Well, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to share some of those God stories.
My name is Dwight Lainhoff. This program comes to you from studios in the Meadowglade Church, Battleground, Washington.